I invite you now to turn with me to Psalm 135. If you're using your Pew Bible, you can find us on page 659. And this is Psalm 135. Hear now the living word of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Give praise, O servants of the Lord, who stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. For the praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing to his name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord has chosen Jacob for himself, Israel, as his own possession. For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does, in heaven and on earth, in the seas and all depths. He it is who makes the clouds rise at the end of the earth, who makes lightnings for the rain and brings forth the wind from his storehouses. He it was who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and of beast. Who in your midst, O Egypt, sent signs and wonders against Pharaoh and all his servants, who struck down many nations and killed mighty kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and all the kingdoms of Canaan, and gave their land as a heritage to his people Israel. Your name, O Lord, endures forever, your renown, O Lord, throughout all ages. For the Lord will vindicate his people, and have compassion on his servants. The idols of the nations are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths, but do not speak. They have eyes, but do not see. They have ears, but do not hear. Nor is there any breath in their mouths. Those who make them become like them. So do all who trust in them. O house of Israel, bless the Lord. O house of Aaron, bless the Lord. O house of Levi, bless the Lord. You who fear the Lord, bless the Lord. Blessed be the Lord from Zion. He who dwells in Jerusalem, praise the Lord. May the Lord bless the reading of his word and also the preaching of his word. This psalm begins much like Psalm 134 began. Calling on those who stand by night in the house of the Lord to lift their hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. But as we look at this psalm, as it begins like Psalm 134, of those who are serving and standing in the house of God to praise and to bless God, it ends by expanding that beyond just those who serve in the temple, but the whole nation and people of Israel, from the house of Israel to the house of Aaron to the house of Levi to those who fear the Lord, all of God's people are called to bless God, and it ends with that final phrase, to praise him. Now, as we looked a few weeks ago on what does it mean to bless the Lord, for us to bless the Lord is to acknowledge God and who he is. To acknowledge God and his attributes and what he has done, to give him the proper praise and adoration and exaltation that he is due. And so this psalm calls all of God's people to both bless and to praise the Lord. And there are three areas that are pointed out of why we are to praise God and why we are to bless his name. We are to bless and to praise him for his goodness. He is good. We are to bless and to praise him because he is sovereign. We are to bless and to praise him because he is great. Those are the three reasons that Psalm 135 gives us to praise our holy God, because he is good, sovereign, and great. And so that is the application we'll be looking at tonight, to bless and to praise our God, the Lord, for he is good, sovereign, and great. So taking each of those in turn, first of all, bless the Lord, for he is good. We see in the first four verses a call to praise the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord, to give him praise. And then as the psalm closes, to bless the Lord. And the reason given is given to us in verse 3. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing to his name, for it is pleasant. Now, that phrase "for it is pleasant" could refer to it is pleasant to sing praises to our God, or His name, His who He is pleasant. It is good. It is right. It is wonderful. Now, this goodness is seen, as verse 4 shows us, in that the Lord has chosen Jacob for Himself, Israel as His own possession. Now, as we consider that the Lord has chosen Jacob for Himself and Israel as His own possession, what does that mean for us? What does that mean that we are God's chosen possession? That God has chosen us for Himself? As we consider this language, there is value in it. There is value in the language of verse 4. The Lord has placed a value on us. He has chosen us for Himself, Israel, as His own possession. When we come into possession of something, when we choose something for ourselves, there is a transaction that goes on there. And if it's something materially, we exchange money. There's a value placed on it, and we exchange. There's an exchange of funds, and that thing becomes ours. It becomes our possession, and we can pass it on then to the next generation if it's really valuable to us. But what is the value here of God's people? It says that God has chosen Jacob for Himself, Israel as His own possession. You know, the rest of the psalm, we can, you know, sneak a peek down and we can see how kings are overthrown and the people of God are redeemed from slavery and bondage, and they're given an inheritance and a possession of their own. As we consider what God has done to bring His people to Himself, that work of God to deliver His people, pointing us to the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have to ask ourselves, what value did God place on us? To take us as His possession, what value did God place on us? One of the shows that Alicia and I have started watching recently is a BBC show called Sherlock. Benedict Cumberbatch is the actor who plays Sherlock, and it's very well done, very well acted. Episode we watched recently, there's a scene, I won't give it away too much, of someone basically sacrificing their life for Sherlock, and stepping in front of a bullet and laying down their life to save him. And it really throws his whole life upside down. And he's quoted as saying that in saving my life, this person conferred a value on it. It's a currency I do not know how to spend. And that really struck me. You know, this character that laid down their life to save Sherlock conferred a value on his life. That his life was worth their sacrifice. Now, it struck me because if we ask the question, what if God has taken us as His possession, if He has chosen us for Himself and taken us as His possession, what value did God confer on us? He sacrificed His only Son for us. The value that God placed on the life of His people, on our very souls, was His own Son's life. That is how we come to be the possession of God. He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. And He has ransomed us from the futile ways inherited by our forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. Is this not reason to bless and to praise our Lord, who has placed such a valuation on us to take us as His possession, that He laid down the life of His Son, but His Son overcame and defeated all that was wicked, even death itself, and was raised from the dead and ascended on high, the victorious King of Kings, the King of Glory. And so, brothers and sisters, because we are the chosen possession of God, we are called to praise and to bless His good name. This brings us to our second point, bless and praise the Lord, for He is sovereign. Verse 5 goes, For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatever the Lord pleases, He does. That phrase, whatever the Lord pleases, He does. Scripture elsewhere says that nobody can stop His hand. Nobody can say to Him, what have you done? Whatever God pleases to do, He does. And as then verse 6 continues to unfold into verse 7, in heaven and on earth, in the seas and all deeps, He it is who makes the clouds rise at the end of the earth, who makes lightnings for the rain and brings forth the wind from His storehouses. In all of His creation, the Lord is sovereign. And He does whatever He pleases with what He has made, because it is His. Now, this refers as whatever the Lord pleases, He does. I think heaven and earth refers to not just creation in general, but you could apply it to the nations of the world, as will be then unfolded in more detail in verses 8 and following. You know, I don't know if you are aware of this. I don't see it much covered on the news, but the nation of Haiti is in great turmoil right now. There's incredible rioting. People who can't leave the country, who are trapped, some missionaries are trapped there. It's a horrendous scene. And if you're in the midst of that turmoil, or as we prayed again tonight for those of the Eastern Presbytery in East Asia that are being persecuted for their faith in Christ, you know, being in the midst of such things can bring incredible discouragement and disheartenment. Psalm 135 reminds us that God is sovereign over all things, even the nations of the earth. Nations of the earth rise and they fall by the decree of our God. He is the one who does as He pleases, even among the nations. In Psalm 9, as it closes, it calls on God to remind the nations that they are mere men. And that's something that we need to remember as well. We can think about a nation as being almost this all-powerful entity that makes us do whatever it wants us to do. But that is not the case. Nations are just men. And they will fall. The Lord alone is sovereign. He alone is forever. His name, in verse 13, endures forever, and His renown or His fame throughout all generations. So, as I said, He's sovereign. He does as He pleases over all the earth, nations, but then also all His created order. You know, as our brother Ensei was praying, you know, I was struck by how you worded just a few inches of snow brought this city to its knees. Just a few inches of snow. And it ground to a halt. That's all that God has to do. I don't need to bring an earthquake to you. I'll just shake some snow on you. That's it. But our brothers and sisters are in other parts of the country. You know, we can, many of you are know Pastor Matt Dick. And he posted to Facebook, you know, kind of a little poking fun at us who are showing all this devastation in Seattle and our little dusting of snow, about the fresh snow that they got in his house. The snow was about halfway up his front door. You know, the snow that other parts of our country, you know, there's also some family posted news clippings and videos on, I believe it was I-70 recently, about a 15 to 20 car accident that brought the highway to a halt. And there was a truck driver who was videotaping everything. And you can see, I mean, a car just comes sliding by. It can't stop, and it's banging off other trucks and slamming into other vehicles. I mean, these storms, these winter storms. But then we can also think of the fires just this past year. that ravaged California and other parts of our country. We can think of hurricanes this past year that have ravaged. I mean, these storms where the Lord clearly reminds us how powerless we are. And we can't stand in the face of the wind. We can't stand in the face of the snow. We can't stand in the fires and all these things. We can't. They bring us to our knees. But the Lord is sovereign over everything, as this psalm shows us. He is the one who makes the clouds rise at the end of the earth, who makes lightnings for the rain, who brings forth the wind from his storehouses. All these things are doing exactly as the Lord commanded and decreed. So this psalm calls us to bless and to praise the Lord, for he is good. And it calls us to bless and to praise the Lord, for he is sovereign over heaven and earth, over the seas and all the deeps, over everything. And so, brothers and sisters, let us praise the Lord and bless his name, because he is sovereign over all things. Thirdly, let us bless and praise the Lord, for he is great. Again, the opening of the psalm calls us to give praise to the Lord, to his name. The close of the psalm calls us to bless the Lord and to praise him. We have been called to bless and praise the Lord because he is good. We've been called to bless and praise the Lord because he is sovereign. And now we are called to bless and praise the Lord, for he is great. Verse 5 says, "For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods." And then skipping down to verse 8, he recounts how the Lord brought all the plagues and all the signs and wonders and defeated Egypt to free and deliver his people. He mentions all the mighty kings, the Sihon, king of the Amorites, Og, king of Bashan. Supposedly Og was one of the giants of the earth, one of the few remaining giants of the earth back in biblical times, along the lines of Goliath and all those things. His bed was supposedly monstrous. But the Lord defeated him. He, from a human standpoint, was a mighty foe and someone who is almost unconquerable, yet the Lord brought him down. And this area, the Og and Sihon, that area was the area that would be east of the Jordan that was given to God's people. And then the psalmist mentions not only these kingdoms, but then all the kingdoms in the actual promised land. All the kingdoms of the Canaanites the Lord brought low and gave their land as a heritage to the people of Israel. So we see again, much like God doing whatever he pleases in heaven on earth, his sovereignty extends over the nations. There is no nation that is mighty enough to defeat God. I don't remember which one of you exactly prayed for our brothers and sisters. Maybe it was Insei again. I'm not sure of how East Asia declared once upon a time that they had gotten rid of Christianity. You know, but yet God's people were still there, underground, under the radar, still growing, and they're still there now, still growing despite the increased persecution. God's kingdom will not be thwarted from the kingdoms of the earth. It will not be overcome by them. It will endure. It may go underground. It may seem quiet, but it will endure by the grace of God, because God has given the earth to his people. And God's kingdom will prevail and expand throughout the earth. But the psalmist doesn't just remind us that God is great and he is far exceeds any power of any human authority or nation, but he also points out clearly how God is great over all gods. He is great over all gods by reminding us of the vanity of human idols. The idols of the nations are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths but do not speak. They have eyes but do not see. They have ears but do not hear. Nor is there any breath in their mouth. Those who make them become like them. So do all who trust in them. that last verse, those who make them become like them, so do all who trust in them. You know, Colossians 3, verse 10, teaches us that we are being renewed in knowledge after the image of God, our Creator. And that in light of Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27, about how God said, let us make man in our image, male and female, He created them. There is an amazing contrast here between those who are God's people, who trust in Him, who are being renewed in the image of their Creator, versus here what the psalmist points out of those who fashion, those who trust in false gods, any false god that takes the place of the living true God. Those who trust in false gods become like the gods that they serve. They are renewed and remade in their image. Just as their gods are blind, their gods are deaf, their gods are dumb, they also will be the same. It speaks of the coldness and hardness of heart of those who are opposed to Christ as they become molded and shaped more and more into the image of their vanity. Whereas we as God's people, through the grace of God, are being molded and shaped more and more into the glorious image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the living and true God. And that brings us to verse 14. For the Lord will vindicate His people and have compassion on His servants. Other translations have, for the Lord will judge His people and have compassion on His servants. The word that is translated there as vindicate in the ESV or judge in the New King James, it's a word of judge that means more of judging or deciding one's cause, or even pleading the cause, one's own cause, or pleading the cause of someone. At the end of all ages, what God will do is He will plead the cause. He will judge, He will plead the cause of His people. He will vindicate them. After all the persecution, after all the sufferings, after all that His people have endured throughout the ages, in that last great day, the judge of all the earth will vindicate not only Himself, but He will vindicate us, His people. He will vindicate us, and He will have compassion on us. You know, in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 36, this is also says the very same thing, that the Lord will have compassion on His people, or He will vindicate His people and have compassion on His servants. Let us read a little bit from Deuteronomy chapter 32. This is called the Song of Moses. And as this section of the Song of Moses begins, you know, right before this, in this song, it talks about the failings of God's people and how they spurned Him. But then it also talks about how the nations foolishly thought that the Lord would bring against His people, how they foolishly thought that they were doing all these things. For it is the Lord who has given them up. And then the Lord in verse 34, it says, is not this laid up in store with me, sealed up in my treasuries? Vengeance is mine in recompense for the time when their foot, those who came against His people, their foot shall slip. For the day of their calamity is at hand, and their doom comes swiftly. For the Lord will vindicate His people and have compassion on His servants when He sees that their power is gone and there is none remaining bond or free. Then He will say, where are their gods, the rock in which they took refuge, who ate the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offering? Let them rise up and help you. Let them be your protection. See now that I, even I, am He, and there is no God besides me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. For I lift up my hand to heaven and swear, as I live forever, if I sharpen my flashing sword and my hand takes hold on judgment, I will take vengeance on my adversaries, and I will repay those who hate me. I will make my arrows drunk with blood, and my sword shall devour flesh. With the blood of the slain and the captives, from the long-haired heads of the enemy. Rejoice with Him, O heavens, bow down to Him, all gods, for He avenges the blood of His children. and takes vengeance on his adversaries. He repays those who hate him and cleanses his people's land. That's the language that Psalm 135 is referencing there. That the Lord will vindicate his people. It's speaking of the Lord in his greatness, pointing to that last great day when he judges all the earth and he avenges the blood of his children. He vindicates his people and he has compassion on us. He pleads our cause. His greatness will be clear and on full display for all the world to see. Is this not a reason for us to bless and to praise our Lord? Brothers and sisters, Psalm 135 calls us to bless and praise the Lord for three reasons. It calls us to bless and praise Him because He is good. It calls us to bless and praise Him because He is sovereign. And it calls us to bless and praise Him because He is great over all things. And so, brothers and sisters, let us trust in this Lord. Let us bless and praise Him for His goodness, His sovereignty, and His greatness. Amen. Our gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we give You praise that You are good, that You are sovereign, and that You are great. We thank You, Lord, that You will have, You will vindicate Your people, and You have compassion on Your inheritance. We thank You for the love and the grace that has been shown to us through the work of Jesus Christ and calling us to Yourself and choosing us as Your possession. May we rejoice in this knowledge and understanding. And as we face various trials and persecutions, we pray that we would hold fast to the truth. You are good, that You are sovereign. All things are unfolding as You have decreed, and that You are great above all nations and all gods. We give You praise, our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.